Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him and worship him. God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and forever. So let's rise and praise God this morning.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to do my lighthouse first.
Is it my lighthouse first?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, morning everybody, we're gonna sing together. Next time we do that song, we need two things: more harmonica and more cowbell. Okay, now we're gonna do another song that's a bit of a mover and a shaker here. It is. It literally. Carly and Jared begged for this song, so here we go. I will declare my choice to the nation.
nations. I will shout for joy in the congregation.
Worship God
all my days. Those who love the Lord are satisfied. Those who trust in Him are justified. I will serve my
are going to follow Carly.
And
the guys with me.
The word of the Lord will stand.
They rise and fall.
And His love will endure.
Though the strong may stumble, the joy of the Lord is strength to my soul.
Declare my choice to the nation. I will shout for joy in the congregation.
Worship God
all my days. Those who love the Lord
are satisfied. Those who trust in Him are justified.
His love will endure.
Though the strong may stumble, the joy of the Lord is strength to my soul. I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. I will not be shaken.
One more chorus. Okay, thanks you guys. Mike?
Hey, so good, so good. Hey, before you sit down, I know this section got knocked on their butt, but before you sit down, I want everyone on your feet. This is how you make friends. Like that. Okay, here we go. So, hey, high five three people that you have a camp crush on. Go. I'm totally kidding, but okay, we'll do it. It's high five three people. I'm kidding, it's any three people. Any three people. Any three people, I'm kidding. If you have, yeah, I love it. If you have three camp crushes, that's weird.
So funny.
Oh, awesome. Well, that got weird. So good. Good morning. The sun is shining. That's a great sign, right? Who had a great night last night? Who had an awesome breakfast? Who had a good time with that last song, pushing people over? I love it. Such a good thing. Hey, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Cool? Lord God, thank you again for another day. It's Monday morning. It's so cool to be able to stop and sit and listen and focus on you. And I say that because, Lord, there's a lot of countries in this world where if we were doing what we're doing right now, we might get arrested or maybe killed. But my hope is we never take this for granted, because this is a privilege. In this moment, Father, as we keep, you know, talking a little bit about you and your love and your character, as we focus on the story that you have given us, my hope this morning is maybe if we have any false views of who you are, maybe those can be broken off a little bit. So speak to me, Lord, and speak through me. I need some wisdom. I need some help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn to someone beside you. I have a question for you, and you maybe can share a story with them. Here's the question on the screen, please. Have you ever had a near-death experience? And if you have, turn to someone around you. Take 2 minutes. Share your near-death experience. Go for it. One more minute. Seconds. Ten, nine, eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. I might be a little ambitious on this. Is anyone brave enough to share? Maybe like one or two people? Okay, right here. You got your hand up? Okay. Your near-death experience. Can you make that sound one more time? love it. Wow.
That's a great story.
Maybe one more person. You don't need sound effects. Oh, gosh. Okay. You kill. Wow. Give him a hat. That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. So we had almost like a boat near death experience. Gil in the pond, kind of almost drowning in 2 feet of water. No, near death experience. Now, I don't want to be a one-upper. But I'm going to be, okay? P.S. I want to hear your stories. I want to hear your near-death experiences. So if you see me walking around, tell me. Even more so, I kind of want to hear the worst thing you've ever done. So feel free to tell me those stories too later, okay? Go. So here's my near-death experience. It happened here at camp last year. Now, it all started when I didn't bring any money for snacks and canteen. And if some of you guys know, who's been here before, a few of us, I kind of stand near like the candy line hopelessly, hoping for someone to give me anything. And I'm usually not picky until someone gives me raisins, and I'm like, we need to pray for you, whoever eats raisins, they identify with the tax collectors and sinners, you know what I mean? But Jesus loves you. It's okay. So, and it's usually the first couple of days a little bit slow. People are like, is he actually homeless? Like, what's his deal? And then people start having pity.
and compassion. And usually by the end of the week, every time you guys are done at canteen, I'm literally like walking away with like maybe like 6 or 7 chocolate bars and candy and pop. You guys have seen this before, right? Well, the thing is, I'm not a big boy, so I can't just like eat like 9 chocolate bars at once. So I would just stash them all in my suitcase. Well, my near-death experience last year. It was afternoon, it was after lunch, and I'm going, like, you know, maybe mid-afternoon. And I go into my room. Why? Because I wanted, I think it was M&M's. And I go, and I sit by my little bed, and I reach into my suitcase, and my life flashed before my eyes. And if you think someone almost getting their head ripped off by a boat is scary, or a gill is sinking like a stone, a mouse jumped out of my suitcase. It was the size of a German shepherd, okay? It was like, it had teeth like that. I saw it. And the tail looked like a snake, okay? And it jumped out of the bag. And now a normal person would be like, oh, a mouse, that's cute. I'm not normal. I yelled and I screamed and I said things that you shouldn't say in public, yet alone in front of Linda's children. Then I ran out of that room and the kids are standing there and I'm like, I'm so sorry, by the way. And I'm yelling and screaming. All the kids are like mortified. I'm like, there's a mouse in my room. They're all in shock, and I'm like panicking. My heart's going like this, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to go back into my room. So I look out of the door, and I see 3 girls walking by. Where's Morgan? Morgan was one of them. Now, Morgan, what did I do? I see Morgan. I'm like, start yelling at them. There's a mouse in my room. And I said, come here. I need your help. So Morgan, who were the other 2 people? Do we know? That's okay. We don't care. Anyway, so... No, I do care. So the 3 of them, I know I probably broke like every camp protocol and rule. I'm like, can you go into my room? Can you drag out my suitcase and make sure there's no mice in there? And Morgan literally saves my life because that mouse was going to like, you know, lunge at my neck. I'm pretty confident. And if it did that to your neck, I would have been like, see you later, you know, like... That was my near-death experience. Now, people would ask me when I shared that last year, like, why are you scared of mice? And it was very simple. When I was a young kid, we had mice in our garage. And my dad, for whatever reason, maybe it was just, you know, to keep me away from them, or maybe he said this so I wouldn't feed mice to the neighbors. Like, I don't know what it was. But he said... And he kind of like, you know, gave us like false view of a mouse. He says, these mice, they're dangerous. And I don't know why he said this, but I remember it very well. And they're full of diseases. And I was convinced for years and years and years, if you get bit by a mouse, you're going to have like the flesh-eating virus. Now you're thinking like, Mike, that's kind of stupid. But because someone said that, because of that experience, I kind of walk around with this false perception of mice. And to this day, anytime I'm around a mouse, I kind of distance myself from them or run away from them or try my best to stay away. Now, I think today in our culture, when we talk about God, I think a lot of people in our culture have a false view of God and who he is. And maybe that's based off something they heard or something they said or some sort of perception that they've taken hold of over the years. And now today in 2018, I talk to a lot of people who may have 0 church experience, which is super cool, I think. But sometimes I start asking the very basic question. They start telling me who they say God is. A lot of things that they share, like in my mind, I'm like, that's not the truth. That's a false view of God. God is not that. And essentially, if they share anything but God is love, it's false. And I would have the conversation, and for a lot of them, because they have these false views of God, they would stay distant from God. Or stay away from the church and say, I want nothing to do with someone like that. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you're sitting here today and you kind of wrestle with that a little bit. It's something you've experienced. And we're going to talk about that in a few more minutes. But as we continue on, we go into the story. So we set the scene yesterday. Jesus talking to the people on one extreme on this side of life and the other extreme of that side of life. The people who are far away from God and people in that culture who were considered super duper close to him. And he goes into this story and tells a story about like the lost sheep and then the lost coin. But the story that we're going to focus on in this little speech that he gives, this story called the lost son or the prodigal son. Anyone heard of that story before? Well, I want to point a couple things out throughout the week so we maybe understand that love of God a little bit more. Now, a few little things. Number one, this is just a story. This did not actually happen. Jesus telling the story because he's talking to the tax collectors and sinners and the Pharisees and the teachers. And I think we have to understand this because sometimes in Sunday school, we tell the story like the literal story that happened 3 days before, whatever it would have been. But it's not. And Jesus is making this story up to show something to these people and those people. Now, we're going to look today at the father in this story. Now, the father in this story is not literally God. But there's things that we can take from the father that point to the characteristics of who God is. That makes sense? We all cool? Cool? Okay, good. So, I'm going to throw the scripture on screen right here. And I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, ready, read. If you have a Bible, feel free to open your Bible to Luke 15. And don't be afraid to ever like mark in your Bible, like highlight where we are or put a little star or something. Or maybe even like write a camp name in 2018. Because you might be going through your Bible one day and be like, oh man, like 10 years ago, that's what we learned. That's what we talked about. So if you have a Bible, Luke 15. If you don't know how to kind of navigate through the Bible, totally cool. Like, it took me a while to understand that, too, to be honest with you. So Luke should be on the top of the page. Then, like, on the page should have, like, a big, bold number 15. Then maybe tiny, tiny little numbers that might say 11 and 12. And when the Bible was originally written, those things weren't in there. These things weren't put in the Bible, like, references until, like, 1,200 years later, just for a heads up. So if you have it, say cool. If you don't, it's on the screen. Cool? Okay, we're going to stay here. 1, 2, 3, ready, read. So this is a story that we're going to kind of focus on. And my hope that it can give us a true perspective of who God is, maybe break off any false perspective that we may have. So there was a man who had two sons. Everyone say two. Okay, there's the youngest and the oldest. The younger one came to the father. So obviously this man is a father figure. And then he said, Father, give me my share of the estate. Now understand this more in a cultural reference. Basically what happened is when a father has kids, the firstborn son, they will, you know, when the father will pass away, the firstborn son, they will kind of get like double the inheritance. They would kind of take on a family name and a family authority. Now, everyone else, everything kind of divided after that. But the firstborn son usually gets or always will get more in that culture. Now, the youngest son, he's not going to be getting as much as the other one. But typically, they would divide the estate and the land and the property when the father dies. So with this younger son going up to the father in that culture, essentially what he's saying is, I want you dead so I can have my money. Kind of weird, don't you think? This would barely ever happen in that culture. But Jesus starts telling this story about this youngest son essentially said, I wish you were dead. Give me what I should have and deserve. Now, here's the question. I want you to turn to someone right beside you. If you were in this boat, would you give the youngest son the estate? Would you give the youngest son the inheritance? If they came up to you, if you had a kid and said, I wish you were dead, give me my money, would you give them the money, yes or no? So maybe turn to someone in maybe 30 seconds, give them an answer, yes or no, and then why? Why would you respond that way? Ten seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Okay. Who said yes? If my son or someone came up to me and said, I wish you were dead, give me my money, who said yes, I would totally do that? Good for you guys. Now, who would say, no thanks, I'm keeping that, you go die? I don't know, like maybe you won't say that part, but who would say no? That's probably the easier way to put it. Who would say no? Yeah? I'll be honest, for me, I would say no as well. And the reason why I want to focus on that, because what we see next, I think really points to the character of this father and the love that the father has. Because here's what it says on the next screen, please, on the next scripture. One, two, three, ready, read. So I think pretty much every single one of us, except for maybe one or two, said, no, I would not do that. If someone came up to me and said, I wish you were dead, give me my money. But in this story that Jesus is sharing, it says right here, so the father, he didn't reject the son. He didn't say no. He didn't say get lost. He divided the property between them. And I think it's very safe to say he didn't just divide the property, but the property would have been sold off so that youngest son could actually have that money that came out of it. And I say this just for this simple reason. Just from the first two verses in this story, everything that you see from the Father is love. Nothing in this story, when Jesus is sharing it, is sharing anything but. And I can imagine this youngest son, whatever views he maybe had towards his father, the only thing that he would have actually known and actually saw was the act of the love of the father. Which kind of makes me confused sometimes, because again, we live in a culture right now in 2018 where like people have such a false view of God. And then for me, I say, why? If you look in the scripture, you look at life, God is love. We're going to see, here's the scripture that actually says that. On the next slide, please. The Bible literally says God is love. It doesn't say God does love, although he does. It says God is love. So if God is love, how can we live in a culture who's walking around with this false view that God is something but love? And as a result, they kind of stay away from him or share the negative views and opinions about him. So here are three common things that I've seen come up which kind of change people's idea of who God is and taking them from the God is love part to maybe something else. Here are three quick things. Number one. I think on the next slide here. Oh, but go to the next one, please. Sorry about that. So right now, we live in Canada. We live in what we call post-Christian culture. If you're here last year, I think I did a talk, and very briefly I mentioned about postmodern. And a postmodern idea is basically like rejects religion as an answer, rejects science essentially, and that kind of mindset as an answer to describe everything. And postmodern, just more of that idea where honestly, whatever you believe is true, just one person believes is true, is essentially true. And through postmodern, we got different things that come out. Now there's like a post-truth way of thinking where there's just no truth, period. And now even more so, we enter what they call like even more like what they call post-rational, where it doesn't have to have any rationality at all, and it doesn't even matter anymore if your thought process. And this kind of way of thinking, this kind of view is really like, you know, taking over our culture here in Canada. And what we've seen with Canada is at one point, we were probably considered a Christian country. If you go back to a generation called the Greatest Generation, these are people born in 1900 to about 1927. This was a generation that was like firmly, essentially Christian. Everyone went to church and the morals and values, everything. Our country, our culture, the businesses, schools, everything more or less reflected that. But over each generation, over the last 100 or so years, our culture has moved away from the Christian morals and values and truths and beliefs. And now you see all the different world views. And because you hear this being taught all over the place, a lot of people, they believe now, well, God can't be love. God can't even be true. And they give them a false perspective of God. I can't tell you how many people who have a post-Christian mindset will say, well, God's not love because it doesn't seem that he loves this group over here. Or a person living with that kind of lifestyle, with that kind of beliefs. It's like, what? Just because culture may teach you that doesn't mean it's true. God, he is love, period. But sometimes the culture we live on can maybe shape how we view God in a false way. Number two, circumstances. I know a lot of people have maybe a negative view or a false view of who God is because maybe they've gone through a junk time in their life. Maybe something happened they didn't sign up for. Maybe they went through a tragedy. Maybe their parents got a divorce. Maybe his loved one passed away way too young. Maybe they're struggling with money. Maybe they're being bullied at school. Whatever it is. And because life circumstances sometimes get junky and get negative, there's a lot of people who are walking around now with a false view of God saying, well, why does bad things happen to good people like me? Therefore, he can't be love if I'm going through this. And that's taught all over the place. I can't tell you how many conversations I have with people who want nothing to do with God and kind of stay away from God and run away from God because they're attributing their circumstances and connecting it to him and thinking, if he let me go through this, therefore, no way he's loved. Number three, another thing that maybe kind of shapes someone's false view of God, fathers. There's a lot of studies over the years that say the way you view your earthly father deeply connects with how you might view God the Father. Now, for some of us in the room, we're like, oh, that's cool. I have a good father. But maybe for some of us in this room or others, you might not have a good father figure to look up to. And maybe your father's in your life, but he doesn't show that love. Maybe there's a disconnect. And that can hinder how you actually view God. Or maybe you're in a situation where your father maybe left your family or somehow left your life, and the perception that you have of God is maybe God also wants nothing to do with you. But actually lots and lots of studies, you can go deeper on this, saying how we view our earthly father plays a big part on how we view God the Father. And if you think your father isn't love, a lot of people walk around saying, well, how could God the Father be love? And these are just three things. And when you go into your small group in a few minutes, after we do some more worship, maybe I'll bring the worship team back up. We can talk about this on a deeper level. But the reality is, with the culture that we live in, how do we take hold of that truth that God is love? Could we see that in this story as we're introduced to the Father? And we know this truth. We see it in the scriptures. God is love, but if we're getting all these other different messages and perceiving him from a different angle, the whole God is love part might be hard for some of us. I want you to know and remind you that he is love. Everyone say this. Everyone say, he is love. Say it again. He is love.
He is love.
Now, I want you to know, because he is love, you are loved. And don't let anything in our culture make you think anything less. Everyone say, God is love.
God is love.
Now point to yourself and say, I am loved. Now look at someone around you and point to them and say, you are loved.
God is love.
I am loved.
You are loved.
God is love.
I am loved.
You are loved.
God is love.
I am loved.
You are loved.
Never forget that. Just knowing that truth and taking hold of this maybe could reflect the decisions that you make for the rest of your life. And it might reflect and play a big part in how you run this race and how you follow God or follow the culture. It might deeply shape when you miss, when you go to university, when you go to college, you might get faced even more so with like this postmodern, post-Christian, post-truth worldview. You remember this truth that he is love. And when you go through crappy times in life, when you go through junk in life, it's so easy to forget that truth. I've been in that boat. I know many people have been in that boat. But when you go through a hard time, when you go through something you don't sign up for, He is still love. And He still loves you. And maybe there's someone sitting here this morning, and maybe when we talk about Father, you're like, ah, you don't have a good father figure in your life. You don't have a good perception or view of who your earthly father is. If that's you, first of all, I'm sorry. That sucks. But I want you to know that you still have an earthly father who loved you so much. And never let anyone allow you to forget that. And again, these are just three things we put on the screen. I know for my journey, like, I identify with all three of those. Growing up in a situation, in an environment where not everyone believed in God, it's very easy to have a false view of who God was. And I walked around with that for a long time. For a long time, I walked around with this idea because of my family situation. Therefore, how could God love me? When I slowly got introduced to Him, it still made no sense. How could He be loved when I got kicked out of my house? And I didn't have the best father figure. And it took a little while to really understand that God is love, and my earthly father doesn't necessarily reflect the heavenly Father. And maybe there's many other things that give us, you know, this false view of who God is. And this morning, if you can just take hold of that simple truth, God is love. You are loved. We are loved. That can change everything. I'm going to pray. Lord God, here we are. Thank you. The reality is we live in a culture that may not believe that, may not understand that truth. That you are love. That I am loved. That we are loved. And as a result of maybe something someone shared in our life, or the result of a bad experience, or the result of a worldview that we've been surrounded by, the result of maybe bad circumstances, the results of maybe not the best earthly father, and many, 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 many other things. Maybe if it's tonight, this morning, you are love is hard for us. Yes, we know it. Yes, we can share it. But deep down, there may be a little bit of that question. So thank you for the story of the prodigal son. Just as we introduce the father in that story, I believe, which does reflect your character. All we see in that story is that you are love. You didn't push your son away. You didn't tell him to run away. You didn't just say, good luck, do your own thing. Everything you did was unconditional love. So let us take hold of that, please. Every single person here, no matter how far off we might feel from you, no matter how close we feel, you love us the exact same. I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Worship team going to continue to lead us in worship. Then we're going to do what we did yesterday. We're going to go into our cabin group after a couple songs. And I want you to discuss this and maybe come up with other things that maybe give us a false view of God. Then I want you to come up with three questions again with your cabin group, and we will discuss those questions tonight. So make sure you write them down. Cool? Cool. Thanks, guys.
You guys can stand. Your peace.
every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever give. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Just the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Ooh.
Lord, we want to build our lives on that foundation of your word and your love for us. And I pray that as we go from here this morning, that you would be involved in every aspect of our day. Beginning with this cabin time, Lord, I pray that we would be aware and acknowledge your presence among us, and that we would just rejoice in knowing that you have so much love for us. So we ask you to go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Cabin time is next. And